From the studios of EWTN, this is Open Line with today's host, Father Wade Menezes. In North America, call toll-free 1-833-288-EWTN. That's 1-833-288-3986. Outside North America, call 1-205-271-2985 or send an email to openline@ewtn.com.
A tremendous Tuesday to each and every one of you. Thanks so much for tuning in to EWTN's Open Line. If you'd like to be part of the program, the number is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Grab one of these open lines early before they get filled up. If you're outside the United States and Canada, we've even got a number for you. That number is 1-205-271-2985. And we'll even put you straight to the front of the line at 1-205-271-2985. And you can always send us an email. That email address is openline@ewtn.com. I'm Jack Williams. Pedro Quiles is producing the program. Your call screener is Matt Gubensky and Vanessa Sanchez handling our social media efforts. So if you're watching us on YouTube or Facebook Live, you can type a question into the chat window and it may find its way to us by the end of the program. And our host, as he is every Tuesday, our very favorite Father of Mercy, Father Wade Menezes. How are you?
Aim there.
There. Well, start over. Pedro's asleep in the in the control room. Now you're on.
Okay, great. Well, hello, Jack, and to the team there on this Tuesday. Great to be with all of you once again on this October 7th, the feast day of Our Lady of the Rosary. And, of course, October is the month of the Rosary. And we had a wonderful pilgrimage group here this morning, Jack, to tour the Fathers of Mercy grounds and also our beautiful Chapel of Divine Mercy here at our Generalate House in Auburn, Kentucky. So a shout-out to the Louisville group of about 25 people headed up by Barbara from the Marian Center there in Louisville, a non profit Catholic books and gift store. So she brought a group of ladies and one gentleman was in the group. So I told him, blessed art thou amongst women, you know. So hello to him and to all the ladies there. They had they had mass with their pastor who came with them, Father Michael Schultz. So a shout out to him. He's at St. Albert's in Louisville. So they are on their way now to visit the Nashville Dominican Mother House of St. Cecilia there in downtown Nashville. And after that, we'll visit the Cathedral of the Incarnation on Broadway in downtown Nashville, which is where I was ordained back in the Jubilee year 2000, 25 years ago. So travel safely, my Louisville friends, and Godspeed with all of you. And as I said earlier, Jack, today is Our Lady of the Rosary's feast day, technically a memorial. And, you know, for six successive months back in 1917, the Blessed Virgin Mary appeared to three shepherd children in Fatima, Portugal, dressed in radiant white, we're told, as if, quote, clothed with the sun, end quote. Kind of harkens to Revelation 12:1, the book of the Apocalypse, chapter 12, verse 1. A woman clothed with the sun, with the moon at her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. She told the three children to pray a daily rosary for world peace and for families, and taught them a prayer to add after each decade of the rosary, which is thus, quote, O my Jesus, forgive us our sins, save us from the fires of hell, and lead all souls to heaven, especially those who have most need of thy mercy. During her final apparition on October 13th, 1917, the Blessed Virgin revealed herself to the three shepherd children as, quote, Queen of the Rosary. And on that same day, the last Marian apparition of October 13th, an estimated crowd of 70,000 onlookers that day saw the sun whirl and dance, the so-called miracle of the sun, the miracle that Mary had promised to the three shepherd children. And so it's from this last apparition of the Blessed Virgin, wherein she identifies herself to the three children as Our Lady of the Rosary. Two are now canonized saints, Saint Jacinta and Saint Francisco. They were siblings. And their cousin, Lucia, who lived to be in her early 90s, she is now a venerable Lucia da Santos. She's on her way in the canonization process. But it's from that last apparition of October 13th, 1917, that we receive today's feast day. It's also tied to the Battle of Lepanto. back centuries ago when the Holy Father asked all in the Universal Church to pray the rosary for that particular battle, and it was won in the waters there at Lepanto. And so I want to talk a little bit about exactly what is the rosary, especially for the benefit of some of our non-Catholic friends who might be listening this hour. And then I want our listeners, Jack, to call in and give a rosary witness. Maybe the rosary has transformed your life. Maybe you were part of some miracle, or you witnessed some miracle that was part of the rosary. Maybe you have visited a shrine where somehow, some way, you were touched in a particular way by the rosary. Maybe Our Lady of Champion here in the United States. Maybe Our Lady of Lourdes in France. Maybe Our Lady of Knock in Ireland. Maybe Our Lady of Fatima itself in Fatima, Portugal. Maybe Our Lady of Guadalupe at the beautiful shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe with the tilma, the miraculous painted tilma. Not even paint, that's the best word I can come up with because it's the closest we can say. But somehow a radiant burst of light, of colored light, put that image on that tilma. Over 500 years old now, behind glass at the shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in Mexico City. Maybe you've been there. Give a witness about Our Blessed Mother, about the rosary, how it's touched your life. You know, the rosary is a devotional prayer, Jack, both mental and vocal, which honors the life of Jesus Christ and the mysteries of our salvation obtained in Him. The rosary also honors the Blessed Mother of God, the Theotokos, the God-bearer, who was so near to her Son throughout His sacred incarnation, His birth, and His life, and His death, and the birthday of the Church at Pentecost. The rosary is prayed on a string of beads made up of five sets, each of one large bead and 10 smaller beads called decades. On the large beads is prayed the Our Father, taught to us by Jesus Himself, and on the smaller beads is prayed the Hail Mary prayer, recalling both the sacred Annunciation and the Visitation in St. Luke's Gospel. That's what the Hail Mary prayer is made up with, words of not only the Archangel Gabriel to Mary, but words also of her cousin Elizabeth to Mary, right? Recalling again both the sacred Annunciation and the Visitation in St. Luke's Gospel. Each decade then of the Rosary ends with the Glory Be prayer in honor of the Most Holy Trinity. And the Rosary begins with the Apostles' Creed from the Council of Nicaea, 325 AD, which gives us some 40-plus truths, and ends with the Hail Holy Queen prayer. The usual devotion that is prayed daily for the Rosary is 1/4 of its 20 total mysteries, that is, 5 each of the joyful, luminous, joyful, sorrowful, and glorious aspects of our Lord's life and Our Lady's life. In other words, one set of 5 mysteries is usually all that is prayed daily. It takes about 17 minutes to pray the rosary reverently. The rosary, which takes only about that long to pray, is the most popular of all non-liturgical Catholic devotions and has been highly recommended by many popes and saints throughout the centuries. The Most Holy Rosary helps us to focus on the life of Christ and the entire economy of salvation which He brought about for us through His Paschal mystery of His passion, death, resurrection, and ascension into heaven. The rosary helps us to break through the noise of daily life. The rosary helps us to develop a deeper devotion to the Bride of Christ, the Church, and the mysteries of our salvation safeguarded by the Church, founded by Jesus Christ, which is His bride. The rosary helps us to strengthen the Church and her many and varied apostolates in the world. The rosary, I love this one, Jack, helps us to strengthen our marriages and families and family life and personal lives. The rosary helps us to increase our prayer life and discipleship. The rosary helps us to bring about world peace by praying specifically for world peace among nations. The rosary helps us to fight evil and literal demonic influences like demonic oppression and outright possession. And the rosary helps us to combat secular humanism and relativism, which does so much to denigrate against the innate dignity of the human person made in God's image and likeness. And the rosary helps us to become saints. When we come back from our break, Jack, I want to comb through the 15 promises that Our Lady has made to those who pray the Most Holy Rosary faithfully and regularly, if not daily. 15 beautiful promises. We will cover those when we come back from our break. In the meantime, I want our callers today to give us a shout live here on Open Line Tuesday this day or in the side chat bar of our YouTube feed or Facebook feed at EWTN's YouTube page or EWTN Radio's Facebook page, or give a call vocally and tell us how the rosary has changed your life, what the rosary means to you. Have you visited any Marian shrines? Have you visited Our Lady of Champion, for example, in Champion, Wisconsin, the only fully approved Marian apparition site in the United States, which literally, not metaphorically, but literally puts Our Lady of Champion on the same bar, if you will, as, say, Our Lady of Fatima in Portugal, Our Lady of Knock in Ireland, Our Lady of Lourdes in France, Our Lady of Guadalupe in Mexico City. Give us a shout. Give us a witness today during this month of the Rosary of October. Give us a witness about the Rosary.
833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. It's Open Line Tuesday with Father Wade.
This is Open Line on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. If you have a question, call 1-833-288-EWTN. That's 1-833-288-3986. Outside North America, call 1-205-271-2985. Or send us an email to openline@ewtn.com.
You know, by providing quality programming faithful to the teachings of the Catholic Church, EWTN Television is TV that viewers can trust. Whether it's films, documentaries, news coverage, lively discussion shows, or even kids' programs, we highlight the truth that is the Eternal Word. For a complete schedule of EWTN Television programs, visit EWTN.com and click on TV. 833-288 EWTN is our toll-free number. Give us a call with your story about the rosary, 833-288-3986. Make me a promise, Father Wade.
Make you a promise. How about 15 of them, Jack, huh? The 15 promises of the Blessed Virgin Mary to Christians who pray the rosary, not Catholics, but to Christians who pray the rosary. Sacred tradition tells us these were given to Saint Dominic, as told to us by Blessed Alan de la Roche, also a Dominican priest and father. Number one, whoever shall faithfully serve me by the recitation of the rosary shall receive signal graces. Huh? Those signal actual graces that we can receive. Number two, I promise my special protection and the greatest graces to all those who shall recite the rosary. Number three, the rosary shall be a powerful armor against hell. It will help to destroy vice, decrease sin, and defeat heresies. Huh? Number four, it, faithful recitation of the rosary, will cause virtue and good works to flourish. It will obtain for souls the abundant mercy of God. It will withdraw the hearts of all from the love of the world and its vanities, and will lift them to the desire of eternal things. Oh, that souls would sanctify themselves by this means of praying the rosary. Number five, the soul which recommends itself to me by the recitation of the rosary shall not perish. Number six, whoever shall recite the rosary devoutly, applying himself to the consideration of its sacred mysteries, shall never be conquered by misfortune. God will not chastise him in his justice. He shall not perish by an unprovided death. And if he be just, he shall remain in the grace of God and become worthy of eternal life. Number seven, whoever shall have a true devotion for the rosary shall not die without the sacraments of the church. Number eight, those who are faithful to recite the rosary shall have during their life and at the time of their death the light of God and the plenitude of his graces. At the moment of death, they shall participate in the merits of the saints in paradise. Number nine, I shall deliver from purgatory those who have been devoted to the rosary. Number 10, the faithful children of the rosary shall merit a high degree of glory in heaven. Number 11, you shall obtain all you ask of me by the recitation of the rosary. Number 12, all those who propagate the Holy Rosary shall be aided by me in their necessities. Number 13, I have obtained from my divine Son that all the advocates of the Rosary shall have for intercessors the entire celestial court during their life and at the hour of their death. That's a powerful one there. Number 14, all who recite the Rosary are my sons and daughters and brothers and sisters of my only Son, Jesus Christ. And number 15, devotion to my Rosary is a great sign of predestination. So there you have it, the 15 traditional promises for those Christians who pray, and non-Christians for that matter, for those who pray the Most Holy Rosary. Our Blessed Mother has one goal and one goal only, and that is to lead us to her Son, huh? And so we want to embrace these rosaries, these promises of the Rosary, and incorporate them into our life. You know, there's a beautiful quote, Jack, by St. Louis Marie de Montfort. He says, "To discover whether people are of God, I have found no better way than the following. Observe whether they pray the Hail Mary and the Rosary." And of course, the Hail Mary is simply a biblical scriptural prayer from the Gospel of Luke, words primarily of the Archangel Gabriel and also of Elizabeth, Mary's cousin. And St. John Paul II says, "It could be said that each mystery of the Rosary, carefully meditated, sheds light on the mystery of the human person. When we read in Psalm 55, verse 23, 'Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you,' here we have an example of the Rosary. To pray the Rosary is to hand over our burdens to the merciful hearts of Christ and his Blessed Mother, that is to say, the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. The Rosary does indeed mark the rhythm of human life, bringing it into harmony with the rhythm of God's own life in the joyful communion of the Most Holy Trinity, our life's destiny and deepest longing, the beatific vision, eternal beatitude, communion with the Blessed Trinity for all eternity. Through the Rosary, the faithful receive abundant graces as though from the very hands of the Mother of the Redeemer." Our prayer could be, Jack, "Lord Jesus, let me realize, truly, truly realize that the Rosary is nothing more than a meditation on your holy mysteries in company with your Most Holy Mother. Help me to recite my Rosary daily, if possible. Amen." And all true, authentic Marian devotion is called to be Christocentric. And all 20 of the mysteries, the five joyful, the five luminous, the five sorrowful, the five glorious, all focus on a mystery of our salvation made possible by the Paschal mystery of Jesus Christ, that is to say, his passion, death, resurrection, and ascension into heaven. And I close with this, Jack. The five joyful mysteries help us to learn the meaning, the virtues, and the trials of everyday family life, right? Because they all focus on the Holy Family of Nazareth, right? So the joyful mysteries help us to learn the meaning, the virtues, and the trials of everyday family life. And I don't know of a family that doesn't have its trials, including religious families like the Fathers of Mercy or the religious family of the Nashville Dominican Sisters. We all have our trials, right, as family members. How about the luminous mysteries? Well, as they focus specifically on our Lord's 3 years of public life, his public 3 years of ministry, they help us to see how we must carry out our Christian mission while living in the midst of the modern world, and Christ is our model. How about the sorrowful mysteries? They all focus on the passion or some aspect thereof. They teach us how to deal with the trials and sufferings of everyday life, from the flat tire on a busy interstate to finding out that you have cancer, right? Any and all forms of trials and tribulations, the sorrowful mysteries help us to embrace. And the glorious mysteries, they help us to focus on the goal. That's right, the very goal for which God has made us, namely our eternal salvation and life with him forever in all eternity. Give us a call. Give us a type in the sidebar at YouTube or Facebook what the Rosary means to you.
Emily's watching us on YouTube, and she says, "The Rosary has brought my family closer together and is still healing us to this very day. We had all gotten so far removed from each other, but then we started praying the Rosary."
Wow, that is a great, great type in there, Emily, on the sidebar. Thank you so much for that. Again, I just said the joyful mysteries help us to learn the meaning, the virtues, and the trials of everyday family life, because the Holy Family of Nazareth, which all five joyful mysteries focus on, those five mysteries show us some trials there that the Holy Family had to endure, from not being able to enter an inn and instead being born in a manger, probably in a cave in a manger, to the fleeing to Egypt, right? How about Joseph's uncertainty? How about Jesus being lost for 3 days, but then finding him? How about witnessing Jesus's first shed blood for us at his circumcision, at the presentation of the temple? So again, the joyful mysteries help us to learn the meaning, the virtues, and the trials of everyday family life. That is just fantastic, Emily. The rosary has brought your family closer together and is still healing all of you to this very day, you say. You had all gotten so far removed from each other, but then you all started praying the rosary. That is just great. That's very poetically written and very powerful. Thank you so much, Emily.
To the phones we go. Lance is up first today in Melbourne, Florida, listening on Divine Mercy Radio. Lance, you're on with Father Wade.
Yes, I have a question regarding the Immaculate Conception. I'm currently in OCIA, and my family is part of we're going to Latin Rite, but I'm finding, I thought I had an issue, but I'm finding that my belief in the Immaculate Conception is actually aligning more with that of the Byzantine Rite, as far as their ideas on the Immaculate Conception as well as original sin. And I'm wondering, first off, is that okay? And then second off, do I have to change right, or how does that all work?
Well, tell me first, Lance, if you will, and thank you so much for your call today from Melbourne, Florida. How do you interpret the Byzantine Church's teaching? And I presume you mean the Eastern Rite in union with Rome. How are you interpreting their teaching on the Immaculate Conception?
So I am interpreting such that original sin is not necessarily a guilt that is acquired by us as we go forward since the fall, but that it is inherited as far as all of the consequences that occurred from the fall.
Correct. From two chief effects, the darkened intellect and the weakened will. Before the fall of our first parents, which ushered in the original sin, we had an enlightened intellect and a strengthened will. But after the fall of our first parents, which again ushered in the original sin, the enlightened intellect became darkened and the strengthened will became weakened. Hence, sin, both mortal and venial, enters the world through concupiscence, what's defined as the tug towards sin, right? The tendency to sin is another way of putting it, either mortally or venially, depending on whether or not it's grave matter, fullness of knowledge, or deliberate consent of the will. Mary was preserved from the original sin and thus from its two chief effects, the darkened intellect and the weakened will, which then unfurl out to other areas because the passions, emotions, and feelings become imbalanced and we have the tugs or the tendencies towards sin. That's called concupiscence again. Mary was free of all that because she was conceived free of the original sin. Okay, now, that doesn't mean that Mary still didn't have to be saved. Mary still had to be saved. She was saved by the merits won for all by her son from the cross and his paschal mystery, his passion, death, resurrection, and ascension to heaven. But where we benefit from the cross and the paschal mystery after the cross took place, Mary benefits from the cross before the cross took place. This is why when the Holy Father in 1854 proclaimed the dogma of the Immaculate Conception, he made it very clear that the Immaculate Conception of Mary in St. Anne's womb, her mother's womb, is an anticipated fruit, meaning a fruit that comes before. The Immaculate Conception is an anticipated fruit of all that would be won for us through the Paschal mystery from Christ on the cross. And again, the Paschal mystery is the passion, death, resurrection, and ascension of our Lord into heaven, that four-event event. So hopefully that helps you out. Read the section on the Immaculate Conception in the Universal Catechism, and also read Munificentissimus Deus, the actual encyclical that proclaimed it in 1854.
833-288-3986. It's Open Line Tuesday with Father Wade.
This is Open Line on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Congratulations going out to another EWTN radio partner, KOGD 107.1 FM, serving Shawnee, Oklahoma, celebrating 10 years with EWTN. Congratulations to the Benedictine Fathers of Sacred Heart Mission from your friends here at EWTN. 833-288-EWTN. That's our toll-free number. First up today is next up is Nancy in beautiful Des Moines, Iowa, listening on Iowa Catholic Radio. Nancy, you're on with Father Wade.
Hello, Father Wade. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much, Nancy, for your call today from Des Moines.
Well, I just wanted to share with you, you're talking about the Blessed Virgin and making pilgrimages, and this spring, I walked the Sharp Pilgrimage in France.
Sure.
And we got to 3 days, and you sleep on the ground 2 nights, 75 miles. It's awesome. 20,000 people. But what's really magnificent, and you probably know this about the Sharp Cathedral, is that our Blessed Virgin's veil is at the cathedral.
Yes, yes.
So we got to go down into the crypt and have Mass, and we got to touch our rosaries and our medals to it. So that was really amazing.
Wow, beautiful, beautiful. And how long ago was this?
That was the Feast of the Pentecost.
Okay,
they
so this
the annual feast. Yeah,
this year in 2025 during the Jubilee Year of Hope.
Indeed, and I was there last year too.
Wow, great.
Another thing that was really neat about it this year for me, it was the 62nd anniversary of my first communion when we had Mass at the Sharp Cathedral. How about that?
Wow, that's beautiful. You know, that's great. You know, you're reminding me. I like to tell people, know your baptismal date. Of course, you know your birth date. And you can guesstimate your conception date, right? So you can guesstimate your conception date more or less. You know your birth date. You know your baptismal date. You know your first Holy Communion date. You may not know your first confession date. It depends because parishes do it differently, but it's usually indeed done before First Communion. At least it should be. But you know your first communion date. And you know also your confirmation date, and you know your wedding date. So know your sacramental dates. And you know what? Just go out for a really nice meal on those days. Go out for a really nice meal and celebrate, you know, your Christianity and your being a member of the visible church on earth, the one holy Catholic and apostolic church, the Bride of Christ. So that's great that you knew that when you were there, that you knew it was your first Holy Communion anniversary from the first time you received our Lord truly present in the Eucharist, probably around age 7 or 8, I would presume. And that's a beautiful thing. Now, you're calling from Des Moines, Iowa, and you're listening to us, I should say, on Iowa Catholic Radio, which is out of La Crosse, Wisconsin. So I want to ask you, how far is the Our Lady of Guadalupe Shrine that Cardinal Burke built that's in La Crosse? How far is that from you in Des Moines? And have you ever been to the Our Lady of Guadalupe Shrine?
I was going to get to that. Yeah, well, we're in the city of Des Moines. Iowa Catholic Radio is in Des Moines as well. We're about 4 hours from Our Lady of Guadalupe Shrine, and I was just up there on, I believe it was July the 20th. Cardinal Burke and Archbishop Cartaglione said the Mass of the Americas that day, and that was beautiful.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
so, about a four-hour drive. So I get up there at least once a year, a couple.
And then how far are you from Our Lady of Champion in the Diocese of Green Bay, which the Fathers of Mercy, my community here in Kentucky, help staff?
Oh, they do. I didn't realize that. Well, that we were there last year. It is about 7 hours. So last summer we made a pilgrimage. We did the 4 hours up to Our Lady of Guadalupe, then we went over to Our Lady of Champion, and then we went down to Holy Hill.
Yes,
which is
exactly.
Down, you know Holy Hill? Okay.
Yes, I do. And I also know the
St.
Yes, and there's also the St. Joseph Shrine ran by the Norbertine Fathers. Holy Hill, which I believe is Franciscan Capuchins. There's Our Lady of Guadalupe in La Crosse and Our Lady of Champion, the only approved Marian apparition site in all the United States in Champion, Wisconsin. So four great places to visit right there and to make a pilgrimage in the state of Wisconsin. Whether or not you're a cheesehead, Jack, you can do a great Catholic pilgrimage there in Wisconsin. So thank you so much, Nancy, for your call and your witness today. We really, really appreciate it.
Next up is Michael, driving through the Commonwealth of Kentucky, listening on Sacred Heart Radio's app. Michael, you're on with Father Wade.
Hi, Father Wade and Jack. What a privilege.
Hello, Michael. Thank you for your call today. Driving through Kentucky. What part are you driving through, east, west, or central?
North. I'm up in the Dry Ridge, Kentucky.
Okay. Well, thanks for your call today. We appreciate it. What's up?
Well, ever since I was zapped by the Blessed Mother, you could say, on my Crucio weekend, one of my spiritual directors in 1989 in Dallas said, he asked me, what's your relationship like with our Blessed Mother? And I said, I was told that she's really not alive, you know, because I'm a revert, you know, I believed that she wasn't really able to hear me. But then, so I got zapped, you could say, the next year of 1990, and I started really delving into what is this relationship I have with my Blessed Mother? And I had a profound rosary with one of the priests from New Hampshire at our Basilica of the Immaculate Conception that next year in 91, Father Mark Montminy is his name. And it's just like the more I will allow the Blessed Mother to like take me by the hand and show me the life of her son, the closer I get to really the courage I feel like I need to have for the least among us. So in 95, I read a book called Healing America's Wounds, and one of the key focuses was how often we as Americans have failed to honor our Native American, our host nation brothers and sisters. And, I didn't even realize Our Lady of Guadalupe was Native American. So in 2013, I had this Native chief from Alaska. He prayed over me. He said he calls himself a Hebrew Catholic. And I said, he said his relationship with the Blessed Mother was just phenomenal in understanding her, the dignity he had. But then I said, I need a friend who's really a Native. But then in 2017, a gentleman who's a Navajo, but he was a gang leader at one time in Los Angeles, became my best friend and worked with me in my tree business called Out on a Limb Tree Care. So, but he was a Pentecostal evangelist, and he wouldn't come to Mass with me. And then he had this profound experience in 2022 with our Blessed Mother at a Lord's Grotto we had at our old Franciscan Seminary here in Cincinnati, where he just started kissing the Blessed Mother's feet. I told him, I said, she's as real as she was at Lord's. And he said it was just a healing moment for him. He said, all right, Mike, I'm ready to go to Mass. He went to Mass with me 10 days later, and he started praying in tongues during the consecration. He said, that is Jesus. But he died within 5 months. He had gotten liver cancer in July 2022. But my pastor is just saying, Mike, that's your miracle that you had been praying for of a Native American brother. And I said, I keep praying for this beauty from ashes with our Native brothers and sisters, with Our Lady, that they're the wounded healers in the land. And so I feel like I'm still on this adventure of finding anybody who has Native heritage to really pray with Our Lady of the Americas.
Right, right. How beautiful is that? Yes, Our Lady of the Americas is exactly the devotion that they would want to take on. And also introduce them to a beautiful female saint, Saint Kateri Tekakwitha. In the native language, that would be Catherine Kateri, Saint Kateri Tekakwitha. And look her up and maybe get some holy cards of her. She had a very, very strong devotion to Our Blessed Lady. And so that would be a wonderful saint to introduce your Native American friends to as well. What a beautiful story, and what a great story as well, Michael, of evangelization. We thank you so much for sharing that with us. And, John Paul II, every time he came to the Americas, North America, he was always very touched by the greetings he would receive from the Native Americans here in the United States and also in Canada. And he made mention of that several times, even once he would return back to Rome and would resume his Wednesday audiences. So it's a very, very beautiful, beautiful thing that the Holy Father would keep bringing it up time and again when it was apropos to the message he was giving. And so that's what your story is making me think about, is John Paul II and his fondness for the Native Americans. Peoples. Thank you so much, Michael, and God bless you in your continued travels through Kentucky.
833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number. 833-288-3986. Jacinta's up next in Summerland, British Columbia, listening on Sirius XM Channel 130. Jacinta, you're on with Father Wade.
Hi, Father Wade.
Hello. Thank you, Jacinta. You're most welcome. Are you named after Saint Jacinta, one of the three Fatima seers?
I am, absolutely, because I was born because of Our Lady of Fatima. If it wasn't for her, I wouldn't be around.
Wow. Tell us your story.
Well, 1969, when my parents lived in Ireland, and they had a one-year-old son, my oldest brother, and she was diagnosed with terminal cancer. And to the point where they told her there was nothing more they could do. They told her to go home, her and my dad, and prepare to die. So my dad, who's always had faith that moved mountains, he said, I don't believe that God would take a mother from her one-year-old son. So they did a pilgrimage to Fatima from Dublin, Ireland. And long story short, it was a horrible trip, apparently. They took two friends of theirs with them who turned out to be nothing but trouble. The car broke down, et cetera, et cetera. They did make it to Fatima.
Wow.
And again, long story short, when they came back, the cancer was gone. There was no trace of the cancer. And my mom used to say the nurses were in tears because they knew her well and her story. And she was pregnant with my older sister.
Wow, beautiful.
And from there, my parents went on to have eight children, and my mother lived to be 97. And
wow.
When we were all living at home, we would, of course, pray the rosary every day. My dad would drag us in from outside or wherever we were, and we would all kneel down and pray the rosary. And there was never any question. We knew that's what we had to do. And now I've been married for 37 years, and my husband wasn't Catholic when I met him, but he is now. And we continue to pray the rosary every day. And he has a special dedication to the Blessed Mother. So we've been so blessed with our whole lives because of Our Lady. And that's my story.
Well, what a great, great witness call, Jacinta. Thank you so much. And you're named after a beautiful, beautiful little saint, Saint Jacinta of Fatima, and her little brother, Francisco. They were siblings, and their cousin, Venerable Lucia de Santos, lived into her 90s, and her cause has now been introduced. So you're named after a great little saint there, and you just gave a beautiful, beautiful witness call about some trials and tribulations of your family and some miracles that... that also manifested themselves also to your family, and that's a beautiful thing. What a great story for this month of the Rosary. Thank you so much. We appreciate your call from Summerland, British Columbia, Canada. I've preached in British Columbia several times on the West Coast there in Canada. An absolutely beautiful, fantastic area. Just very Catholic, beautiful, beautiful scenery, and always enjoy going to BC. Thank you so much, Jacinta. God bless you now.
I want to invite you to check out Take 2 with Jerry and Debbie tomorrow at noon Eastern on EWTN Radio. It's going to be a particularly good one. Their topic tomorrow, what slang, idioms, or sayings is your part of the country known for? That's Take 2 with Jerry and Debbie tomorrow at noon Eastern on EWTN Radio.
I might call in and give some Kentucky ones, Jack.
There you go. Next up is Abbas. He is in Richmond, Washington, listening on Sacred Heart Radio. Abbas, you are on with Father Wade.
Hello, Father.
Hello, Abbas. Thank you for your call today from Richmond.
Your program.
Say again, I'm sorry.
Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay. So I listen to your program anytime I'm driving, and what today is the Lady of the Rose, and I called about my son-in-law. Son-in-law, my daughter from in Idaho, they moved to a house they really loved. It was an older home. After several years, they ran into a health issue, which was caused by black mold.
Ah.
And they went to the doctor, and they said, you have to move to the immediately because affecting, especially my granddaughter. Her name is Gianna, and she's been having some kind of a immune disorder. They've been struggling for 3 years right now. And they basically overnight become homeless. They had to go to his parents' house. They stayed there for a few months. They found a house. They moved in. And one night that he was drinking whiskey and talking to God with anger, and that's when everything changed. God put in his heart that whiskey is not the answer, a rosary. So slowly he stopped making rosary with his family. He ordered Mark and he started making rosary with his family. So they started saying rosary together and making rosary. And that developed to kind of expand it. He is on the website now. And what he called the rosary, the last weapon.
Right.
And his story is online. In fact, anybody wants to go read it. He created beautiful rosaries for men, for women. And so he's inviting everybody how to pray the rosary and where to purchase one. So this is a story that it had to change him overnight. And he's no longer the same man. He's recreated by God again.
Beautiful, beautiful. And how is your little granddaughter? How is she doing? She's recovered completely from what she was suffering from the black mold?
Not yet, Father. In fact, they're still dealing with that. Every procedure is very expensive. And there's hope that there's another procedure they have to do. Plasma treatment that it costs $30,000 every time, and there's a lot of money goes into it. An insurance company, so they don't pay for some of these. So that's what. But we are hoping that she gets cured. But the thing is, the family through this struggle, what keeps them going is their faith,
sure,
and the daily rosaries, and they never miss mass, and so
beautiful.
Their struggle is the same, but they have God in their life now.
I'm going to offer my Vespers and my Compline for them this evening, and with the specific intention that the mold problem is solved, and also that your little granddaughter gets completely well from that adverse reaction to the mold. And Godspeed, Abbas, and blessings to all of you, your son-in-law, your daughter, and their little daughter. And God bless you all, and thank you so much. And know that your EWTN family is praying for you and for them as well.
God bless you, Abbas. We appreciate the phone call. Next up is Terry in the great state of Michigan, listening on the EWTN app. Terry, you're on with Father Wade.
Hi. I don't know whether this will be of any interest or not. I don't have a story about the rosary personally for myself, but my mother would tell me, and she's told my sons also.
Sure.
She was born September 8, 1911 in Poland. She was named Maria. She had a Holy Communion rosary that she kept throughout her life. In fact, one of my sons now has that. She was deeply religious. I saw her using it on a daily basis. When the war broke out in 1939 in Poland, when Germany invaded Poland, my father was in the border patrol. He escaped the Germans, but he was captured 2 weeks later by the Russians and taken to Siberia to a corrective labor camp. She spent the war years with his parents at her in-laws, which is a story in itself. During that time, my brother, who is Francis, died at the age of 11 in 1944. She said that she received a letter from my dad in May of 1946. It had to come from America because he was in England. He had been in the Second Corps with General Andes. But he made it to England, and he sent the letter to America to one of the cousins, and then they rewrote it and sent it to Poland because of the political situation there. In it, my father said that there would be an uncle coming to visit her in the coming months because he was going to get her out of Poland into England. At the day of the meeting, there was a young woman who was had a pseudonym, Gucha.
Terry, in the interest of time, Terry, can you tell us exactly, you have down, or you, I believe you're trying to tell us,
yep,
that the rosary and somehow was important in saving,
okay,
their lives.
When she was being smuggled, she was in a cattle car with children and women that were being smuggled out of,
wow,
Poland. And at one point, as they got to the Soviet border, there was pounding on the door. They were trying to open it, and they would have all been killed. But somebody said, we should pray. And my mother said, I've got a rosary. And she said that they said the rosary. Everybody who could would grab onto the rosary beads, and the rest of the women would put their hands on her shoulder just to, and then they prayed, and the door was not opened. Somebody yelled that it's all clear, and they left, and she did make it to England.
Wow, beautiful, beautiful. Yeah, the demons flee when it comes to the Blessed Mother of God. They do not like her. I said it last week, I think. There's two things that the devil absolutely cannot stand, and both make him tremble and both make him flee. But it doesn't deny the fact that he hates them both. And the first one is the Blessed Virgin Mary. And the second that the devil hates is the Eucharist. He hates the Blessed Virgin Mary because she gave us Jesus, and he hates the Most Holy Eucharist because it is Jesus, right? And so it sounds like that the evil forces fled once those women and children started to pray the rosary. Terry, thank you so much for your witness call today on the beauty of the rosary in a time of trial and tribulation for those poor women and children during World War II. What a great, great witness call and story. Thank you so much for your call from Michigan today.
Quickly, we'll head to Daryl in the great state of North Dakota, listening on Real Presence Radio. Daryl, just a couple minutes left with Father Wade. What's your story today?
I have a testimony. Over 10 years ago, I lost my family from alcoholism, lost basically everything. And are you still there?
Yes, we're listening, Daryl. Thank you so much.
Anyway, I'm sorry about that. Anyways, I lost my family, went to treatment, and I came back out. And then I also had, started drinking again, and I started watching EWTN, and Mother Angelica was praying the rosary at 8:30 at night. I started praying the rosary. I said, what do I got to lose? I told myself, I'll start praying the rosary every night. Every night I start praying it, and it didn't expect it, but it took away my cravings from alcohol. It took away other bad habits that I had that I didn't expect.
Wow.
And it just gave me a whole new life. And I've actually, purchased unique rosaries for the priest to give out at confessions for anybody that's struggling for, I don't care, alcohol, for any bad habit. There isn't anything that, any bad habit that rosary will not cure.
Amen. Amen. You know, your rosary story just now about curing you of different vices is something that I've heard more often than once, especially when the rosary was prayed for that specific particular willed intention of overcoming this or that, something that the person thought they had not enough human strength to do. And they don't have enough human strength. They need divine intervention of the Blessed Trinity and the angels and saints and our Blessed Mother to aid them and assist them. And given the power of the rosary, as we discovered in the 15 promises that I shared after we came back from our first break, the 15 promises of the rosary, I'm not surprised to hear so many stories time and again about how the rosary and the regular praying of it helped a person to overcome a situation of particular vice in their life, whatever it was, unjust anger, alcoholism, the propensity to want to control situations, a control freak, so to speak, pornography, tax evasion or embezzlement from one's place of employment, all these bad habits and habitual vices, the ones they indeed want to overcome, or even if they didn't have a particular intention to want to overcome them, they're beginning to pray the rosary for maybe another intention, led them to also to that other particular intention that guided them to overcome that other vice. So just a beautiful testimony, Daryl, and thank you so much for your call today from North Dakota on how our Blessed Mother and the Rosary helped you from your alcoholism and turn away from it. Are you reconciled with your family now after all of that?
Yes, yes, I am. Thanks be to God.
Praise God.
I also, you know, I don't go to AA meetings either. I don't have to, but I got to keep the rosary. I got to pray the rosary.
Yeah. The fact that the family has reunified following your turn away from alcoholism is another added fruit of the rosary, because she wants to help heal families. Thank you so much, Daryl. God bless you.
Father, would you leave us with a blessing?
I certainly will, Jack. May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit descend upon all of our Open Line Tuesday listeners and remain with each and every one of you this day and always. Saint Joseph, terror of demons.
Pray for us. On behalf of our host, Father Wade Menezes, our producer, Pedro Quiles, our call screener, Matt Gubensky, and social media maven, Vanessa Sanchez, I'm Jack Williams. Thanks so much for tuning in to EWTN's Open Line. Back at it tomorrow with Father Mitch. Until then, God bless.